The events of this weekend brought a big question to the media. How close are we to World War III? Well, let's talk about it. Democrats have now created a new bureaucracy with the goal of taking away our right to own guns, and they did it at a time when no one would notice. And Donald Trump has a new campaign ad. It will be a great shock to you that the Democrats are blaming who the Democrats are blaming for the content of that ad. Let's take a look at it. This is Gene, and you're listening to Dumbasses Talking Politics. Hey, this is Gene. Welcome back to Dumbasses Talking Politics. I hope you had a great weekend. What an eventful weekend, I might say. I mean, I couldn't keep track. I had about 15 stories on Saturday, and so far, I have a ton more that I'll just have. Basically, my entire week is set up for me. So much happened this weekend. It isn't even funny that all the crap that happened, and it's some dangerous stuff. So let's get to our first story. So we have some bad news in Russia, some very sad news in Russia. According to the Daily Wire, more than 130 people were killed, and also about 140 were injured, during an Islamic terrorist attack at a concert hall in Russia on Friday night, according to the latest figures released by the Russian government. The Islamic State Khorasan province, or ISIS-K, claimed credit for the attack that also wounded more than 140 people who were either shot, burned, or inhaled thick black smoke. Quote, as the rubble was being removed in the concert hall from the Crocus City Hall, the number of people killed in the terrorist attack had risen to 133, said the Russian Investigative Committee. The search operation is underway. Disturbing videos circulated online of the attack showed four heavily armed men storming the Crocus City Hall and opening fire with automatic weapons on the sold-out concert. Now, I do want to, and then, right after that had happened, they lit the place on fire. And the place burned down. Now, something to know about this attack. This was not an attack that wasn't expected. As a matter of fact, the United States had said that these attackers from the Islamic State were going to attack. They had recommended, the United States had contacted Russia and recommended that Russia not close all halls until they found these guys. So this was known by the United States that it was going to happen. Russia was warned that this was going to happen. And we knew exactly who was going to do it. And of course, then the Islamic State, the ISIS, decided to claim responsibility. The four guys were from a country called Turkmenistan, which is borders Afghanistan. So there you go. Everyone who sits back and you want to blame Joe Biden, you can blame Joe Biden for this mess because ISIS-K was in Afghanistan. Now they're in Turkmenistan. Now they're going over the borders. This is something, we'll talk about all that, but this is something that is not surprising. So this was completely reported. This was completely expected by the government of the United States, and Russia knew about it, but they let everything go. Apparently these four guys were just walking around. They did not have anybody stop them until they were captured after they finished burning down the building. Apparently Russian police interrogated them, which means they tortured them. There were videos online of their interrogation, which included somebody, I guess they cut off the ear of one of them and tried to force feed the ear to this individual. Another guy, there's video of him having his balls electrocuted. All four, when they were in court on Sunday, were beaten beyond recognition. I mean, just huge welts and bruises and swelling. And I mean, one guy had to be taken in on a stretcher. That's how bad these guys were beaten, which, by the way, I don't have a problem with. I personally think terrorists, here's the thing we seem to have a really hard time. in the 2000-2010 area, George W. Bush actually allowed enhanced interrogation techniques, which use a form of interrogation called psychological interrogation. That's waterboarding, putting someone in a box, keeping them awake, holding them in shackles, embarrassing them, taking off their clothes, having them marching around naked. This is what happened in Abu Ghraib. Unfortunately, some of the military actually took pictures of it. That ended up going away. And this was called torture. That is not torture. Psychological interrogation is not torture. Psychological interrogation, matter of fact, my understanding, someone who did the psychological interrogations, actually, they go through it before they actually administer. So you, if you have someone from the CIA who is actually doing the interrogation, essentially that guy will end up, being waterboarded himself to see what it's like. So it's not like this does anything permanent to an individual. But if you go to other countries, they have no problem with this. Iran, Russia, China, just about every other country except Western civilization-based countries do this kind of thing. In Africa, it's amazing. Afghanistan, what they do to the human body is incredible. So this was something that people were complaining about. Of course, the left was complaining about this from Russia because they hate Russia. But they don't seem to have a real hard time with Hamas doing the same thing. Hamas tortures people just like this. And ISIS-K tortures people just like this. Cutting off their nuts, raping them, things like that. Those are more those are more than psychological. That's actual physical torture and emotional torture. We all seem to love the cartels these days for whatever reason. The cartels use emotional torture most of the time, and physical, but mostly it's emotional torture. Emotional torture is raping your wife in front of the husband to get the husband to talk. It's things like that. So Vladimir Putin made a speech, and this is what he said, quote, "They tried to escape. They were moving towards the border with Ukraine. And we have data that suggests that they are about to be moved towards the territory of Ukraine by those in Ukraine. We will identify everyone who stands behind these terrorists, and they will pay. These terrorists, there is only one future for them, retribution and oblivion." Essentially, what's going to happen is these guys are going to end up going to court. They're going to be convicted. There's no question there is video all over the place of these guys. They're going to be convicted. They're going to be taken out back, and they're going to be shot in the back of the head. That's what Russia does. So there's very little doubt what's going to happen with these guys. Now, though Putin didn't directly blame Ukraine, because we know these guys were not from Ukraine. They were from a country called, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, Turkmenistan, which I think we talked about earlier. Turkmenistan is a heavily Muslim country. ISIS-K is in Turkmenistan. And again, we talked about the fact that Turkmenistan is bordered with Afghanistan. ISIS is basically all over Afghanistan. Matter of fact, they're fighting the Taliban now. So the Taliban is very adept to control. So ISIS-K might be moving out of Afghanistan and now into Turkmenistan. And now they're doing what terrorists do. They're going to other countries and they're attacking. So Vladimir Putin decided, okay, it's Ukraine. It's their fault. And what they decided to do? Launch a missile attack. Now, on Sunday, when this missile attack was reported, they said that the barrage of missiles ended up going over to Ukraine, attacking a city in Ukraine. That barrage of missiles was over Polish airspace. Now, I had to really look this up because this is not being reported for some reason. Well, it wasn't a barrage of missiles that ended up in Polish airspace. It was one missile, and it kind of strayed in Polish airspace and then got out of Polish airspace. Poland did scramble a bunch of F-16 fighters, and they are demanding an explanation from Russia. But the reality of the matter is, and the people who did report this said this could start a World War III. Okay, let's talk about this. Okay, I don't want to be hyperbolic here, but this is how world wars start. It starts usually by accident, or usually starts with a smaller group doing something stupid. For example, World War I, the war started by a killing in Serbia of a count or a kaiser or something. And then suddenly you had one country join and then another country to join. Here it's dangerous because let's just say you had a missile from Russia accidentally land in the desert, in a uninhabited territory in Poland. Well, now you've got NATO involved. And NATO is, United States is part of NATO. France, actually I think Germany is involved in NATO, but you have a bunch of NATO countries involved. And then suddenly you can see tensions absolutely rise. Because most of the time, it is not a big event. Like, for example, what Kaiser died, we don't even know. It doesn't matter. But World War I killed hundreds of thousands of people. You could have a small thing like this start, and it could escalate into the Third World War. Now, that being said, I said I didn't want to be hyperbolic. We also live in a world of mutual assured destruction. Russia is a nuclear-armed country. Supposedly, NATO has nuclear arms. The United States has nuclear arms. I think the chances, the prospects of going into World War III are low simply because of the high threat you could have. And I don't think Russia is interested in going to war with Poland. So, you know, their missile crossed the space. It shows you that their missiles are not that great. Their tracking systems aren't that great. They end up kind of cruising through. But the reality of the matter is, because you have this gigantic problem of nuclear weapons, which, by the way, is something they discussed in the 50s. Oppenheimer, the great movie, that movie actually discusses that nuclear weapons are not necessarily bad, or atomic weapons at the time, are not necessarily a bad thing simply because atomic weapons create that world of mutual assured destruction, and maybe people won't be so quick to jump into a war like they did in World War I and World War II. Would Japan actually attack the United States now if they knew we had atomic weapons? Probably not. And this is the same thing here. So right off the bat, we can just everyone just needs to relax when it comes to the World War thing. I find it kind of curious that no one really talked about this. I'm not exactly sure why a missile kind of cruising near Poland wasn't a bigger story, but it wasn't. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, I really don't know why they do this. But anyway, this terrorist attack does show us a couple of things. One, all of this chaos, ISIS-K, the war between Ukraine and Russia, the war between Hamas and Israel, all of this stuff has to do, and then we have to worry about our border too. The chaos is coming directly into our country. All this chaos is Joe Biden. It's him being weak, him being wishy-washy on everything. He's wishy-washy on Israel. He's wishy-washy on Ukraine, Russia. He will not come up with any kind of solution to end this war in Ukraine. Just keep giving him money. He's enabling terrorism, and he's doing it in 50 different ways. The Afghanistan surrender, the terrorists won. The Taliban, ISIS, they all believe they won. The continued attempt to revive the Iran nuclear deal, that deal is dead because Iran is weeks away from having a nuclear missile if they don't already have one. The insistence on the end to the Hamas-Israel war is a problem. Because for some reason, Joe Biden wants to leave Hamas alone. He wants Hamas to lead. He's continually giving Hamas money and aid. I mean, we're talking out of both sides of our mouths when it comes to Hamas and Israel. Because we're giving Israel aid, and they want to stop doing that. And they're giving Hamas aid. And they want to continue to add more aid to Hamas. So we continue to support Hamas. The capitulation to the Houthis. The Houthis are a tribe of Iranian-backed terrorists. Iran doesn't care what happens to the Houthis. We could bomb the crap out of every Houthi in the world right now, and Iran wouldn't say a word. They'd be like, okay, they did what they were supposed to do. But the Houthis have all but stopped all trade, all movement of product in the Red Sea by killing people. Pirates are taking over ships, and the United States is not doing anything about it. These guys are using $1,000 drones to bomb troops, to bomb targets, to bomb ships, and the United States is doing absolutely nothing about it. When it would take us one missile to a Houthi camp that we know where it is, and that would end the Houthis altogether. And then just last week, Joe Biden released another $10 billion to the Iranian mullahs for no particular reason. There is no reason to believe the mullahs are doing anything but creating all this chaos in the world. And by the way, if you think ISIS-K didn't go out there to create more chaos between Russia and Ukraine, you're nuts. That was their goal. Yes, they didn't create that so that they could, you know, Russia could invade Turkmenistan. No, they created that because they knew Vladimir Putin would blame either the West or Ukraine directly, and he did. Okay, another thing we've learned from this is it really is time for the Ukraine-Russia war to end. We need an off-ramp. Now, Donald Trump said he could do this in a day. Well, no, I don't think he could end that war in a day, but he can do it in a month. Right now, there is absolutely zero exit strategy in that war. We're just dumping hundreds of billions of dollars into Ukraine and with no strategy here. Okay, what exactly are you guys going to do? The war itself is in a complete stalemate. It's not going anywhere. Crimea and the Donbass, they're Russian. It's not going to change. Ukraine is not going to go into Donbass or Crimea and take it back over. Russia is not going to go into Kyiv and take over Kyiv. It is dead. It is finished. So why doesn't this end? Russia is going to just keep it going and go for the long haul. Russia is a gigantic country. They got huge populations. Their wartime strategy is just to throw human beings at this country until the other country gives up simply because they just don't have that many human beings. So this thing could go on forever, and it just really has to end. And not to mention the Biden administration just looks incompetent because they don't seem to know when this is going to end. They don't have any idea what to do. Okay, here's the reality. Ukraine, it sure looks like they don't want this war to end. Now, let's be very clear. Everyone's calling Ukraine a democracy. I don't know where they're coming up with this. Ukraine has never been a democracy. It's been an oligarchy. It's much like what Mexico's like, where you've got the cartels, the rich are running the government. Do you think Obrador is running the government in Mexico? No. It's the cartels. It's the cartel leaders. They're running Mexico. They're doing it. And Ukraine is much the same way. It's an oligarchy. People are getting rich from this war. There was talk this weekend, and I don't know if it was true, but they were showing one of the presidential advisors driving around in a $200,000 Rolls Royce. Now, is that proof that it's that the Zelensky and all his advisors are getting rich off American dollars? Not necessarily. But we do know Zelensky has a lot more, is valued a lot more than he used to be. So, and we do know that Ukraine has been an oligarchy up until Zelensky got elected. Zelensky actually ran on ending the oligarchy in Ukraine. Did he do it? Doesn't look like it. But we also have to look at Zelensky. When you talk about democracy and Ukraine being a democracy, we have to look at Zelensky because he's looking like a little tyrant. Like I said a few seconds ago, Zelensky's worth is way up, and you've got to wonder where he's getting all this money. He's declared martial law within the country. He has imprisoned political opponents and religious leaders. Opponents like Klitschko, who used to be the heavyweight world champion, who is actually a mayor in one of the cities in Ukraine, has said that, no, Zelensky's a little tyrant. He is not this free-loving, democratic-loving guy you think he is. He's throwing those political opponents in prison. He's throwing religious leaders, the Christian Orthodox religion over there. These people are being closed down and thrown in prison. Of course, the media doesn't talk about that, but that's what is happening. And something that the media really should be talking about, he's already canceled this year's elections. There's supposed to be a presidential election this year, and Zelensky, because of the war, said, oh, there's no election this year until the war's over. And Zelensky doesn't want the war to end. He says we will fight as long as it takes to get Crimea and the Donbass back. Well, okay, you got to wonder what's going on. He's becoming a little tyrant. He's becoming a little dictator. So that war needs to absolutely end. So, and as far as, you know, it really does bring in the question. Is Vlad Putin really that much different than Zelensky, President Zelensky of Ukraine? I am saying probably not as different. Now, I'm not approving of Vlad Putin, definitely not approving of the invasion. But to sit back and say Zelensky is an angel and Putin is the devil, I won't go that far. I never go that far. I always think there's gray area here. With Zelensky, there's a ton of gray area, and we're not hearing most of the reporting about it. So, 130 dead, 140 killed. The terrorists were caught. And it's only, I'm telling you right now, it's only a matter of time before we have one. We have a terrorist attack here. I'm telling you, we will have a terrorist attack here this year. It's going to happen. The State Department has already said it's going to happen. The FBI has already said it's going to happen. They had hearings in the Senate or Congress last week or 2 weeks ago, and the FBI director was saying, yeah, we're going to have a terrorist attack. It's very high, very likely, because the border is wide open. And by the way, if we do have a terrorist attack, it's going to be curious to see what Joe Biden is going to do, because don't forget, this year is an election year. I would think it would be really kind of funny if Joe Biden actually canceled the elections. Now, that's an extremely right-wing conspiracy theory. But, I mean, the left was accusing Donald Trump of Donald Trump was going to do that in 2019. They said, oh, yeah, he's going to cancel the elections, blah, blah. I mean, he had no reason to cancel the elections. I mean, if there's a terror attack in the United States and the United States decides to go to war with whatever Turkmenistan or whatever, or Afghanistan again, could you see Joe Biden doing that? It worries me when the leftists actually accuse the Republicans of doing something, because it makes me think this thought is in their head to do it themselves, and they have a tendency of doing it. And one of the things I thought this when Joe Biden was elected, will he actually ever get out of the White House? because they've already accused Donald Trump of wanting to cancel elections. Is it that unbelievable that the left decides for somehow or they go through some process to cancel elections? I don't think so. Okay, so we've already talked that Joe Biden and his administration, they're dictators. They are bad people. They don't like the Constitution. They ignore the Constitution when it's convenient for them. Well, they did it again. And of course, this is so blatant. And the reality is, this administration and our Congress did a lot of blatant things this weekend. It was pretty ugly. But the Justice Department, they did something really blatant. And instead of doing it on, let's say, a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Friday, even a Friday, where there's tons of media, they decided to do it on Saturday. So I wonder why. So let's take a look at it. This story's from the Post-Millennial. Department of Justice announced on Saturday that it has launched the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center in an attempt to combat gun violence. I love that name. National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. Wow. That's something. Of course, it doesn't really say. Basically, it's a gun grab. Continuing with the article, this center will provide comprehensive training and support to law enforcement officials, prosecutors, judges, behavioral health professionals, and other stakeholders in implementing laws designed to prevent individuals who, quote, pose a threat, end quote, from accessing firearms. These laws, commonly referred to as, quote, red flag laws, end quote, enable authorities to remove firearms from the hands of people deemed dangerous, and suspected to be a threat to others or themselves. Now, one of the reasons why red flag laws are really being pissed on by the NRA is because the red flag laws, these risks, these people who are deemed dangerous or suspected to be a threat, that stuff is arbitrary. So if you're a conservative, right now, you just have to listen to the media. Listen to MSNBC for an hour, if you can get through it for an hour. They're constantly telling us who the big threat is. Donald Trump is the big threat. Donald Trump is a threat to the democracy. You hear it all the time. All those MAGA supporters are threats to democracy. That's the problem. All those threats are arbitrary. Who determines that this individual is a threat? Like, I know people in my family, they're very right-wing. I know one guy, he's got dozens and dozens of guns. And he's very right-wing. He's a big Trump supporter. Is he deemed a threat to democracy? That's the question. And not to mention red flag, the big problem with red flag laws, they just don't work. They really don't work. Do any of these laws prevent mass shootings? Well, no, they don't. The last mass shooting where the gal walked into a theater and started shooting somebody, she was already mentally deranged. They knew about it. Nothing happened. She was still able to get a gun. Most of these mass shooters either get the gun illegally or they get the gun legally, yet everybody and their mother knew the guy had a problem, a mental problem. Continuing with the article, quote, the launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others, attorney Merrick Garland. The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence, end quote. Well, you know how else you can protect communities from gun violence? Throw people in prison. That would be a good start. Because do you know where most of the gun violence is? It's in the inner cities between gangs. But we don't throw those people in the inner cities between gangs who are illegally carrying weapons and start shooting at each other because most of them are black. We don't do that. We would rather take away. And by the way, this is another thing I'm not crazy that they say this. We would rather take the guns away from the law-abiding white people because they are more dangerous, especially those that are conservative. So, and that's what this is about. Don't kid yourself. This is not about protecting the community, because if they were protecting the community, they'd take the guns away, they'd arrest the people that are actually doing the killings and put them in prison. They're not doing that. Funding for the center is derived from a Department of Justice grant approved as part of a gun control bill signed into law by President Biden in 2022. Vice President Kamala Harris is slated to unveil the center during her address at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida on Saturday. The school was tragically the site of a mass shooting in 2018 that claimed the lives of 14 students and 3 staff members. By the way, this is exactly why you don't... Marjorie Stoneman Douglas is, and you'll hear about this, is exactly the reason not to trust red flag laws. The kid that committed the mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas had mental problems, was already on the radar of the police force, was already on the radar of the school system, was already, if I remember correctly, he was actually in a mental institute for a while, and he still was able to legally get guns. This Marjorie Stoneman Douglas was an example of how the system failed. Completely failed. Well, of course, this system is not here to get guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have guns. I mean, if it was, the same people who say you shouldn't have a gun wouldn't say that illegal aliens should be able to carry a gun. I mean, that happened last week, too. I'm not talking about it because I think it's just an asinine story. But now illegal aliens... The left has already said illegal aliens should be able to carry guns. But they want to take a legal resident who pays his taxes. They want to take the guns away from him. Okay. And not to mention Kamala Harris. If she's going to lead anything, it's going to fail anyway. But Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, if I know they did this to, like, slap Ron DeSantis a little bit, embarrass Ron DeSantis. But Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and by the way, that school is located in a very leftist area of Florida, and there are some leftist areas left in Florida. That was an example of how the government failed, and it failed at just about every... I mean, the security guard at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas ran away. Everyone bitches about what happened in Uvalde with the police. Yeah, it happened in Marjorie Stone in the leftist area where the guy just ran away. So, yeah, great example. And believe me, you're gonna hear all of the facts about that killer. Okay, continuing. President Biden's administration has prioritized red flag laws as a crucial component of its gun control efforts. Last February, Biden announced that the DOJ would be giving over $234 million to states for red flag programs. Critics have long argued that red flag laws pose significant constitutional concerns and are likely to violate the Second Amendment rights of the citizens. Well, it does that just in the name. I mean, it says in the Constitution, your rights to bear arms shall not be abridged by the government. And this is a bureaucracy, which, by the way, we always need. We need more bureaucracies because we don't have enough in this government. This is a bureaucracy made to abridge the rights of a citizen to own a gun. And through the most arbitrary means, my ex-wife, and I'm sure she would do this because she's a whore, my ex-wife could sit there and say, hey, this is why red flag laws aren't good. He's dangerous. He's a killer. And there doesn't have to be he's a potential killer. He shouldn't own a gun. He'll kill somebody eventually. She could say that. No evidence. I'm never convicted of anything. I'd never go to jail. I never actually have hurt someone. Doesn't matter that I've owned a gun for 30 years and the gun's never gone off. I've never pointed it at anybody. None of that makes any difference. But the red flag law says the government can walk into my door, take my gun away, simply because I am a threat to society. Even though they can't really name the threat and there's never been... It's a thought crime is essentially what it is. But anyone can sit there and say that this person's a threat and they can just walk in and take the guns away. That's... I'm sorry, that violates the Second Amendment completely. And that's why red flag laws are not implemented in most of the country. I don't even think they're implemented in California because I don't think California has won a lawsuit. Every time they try and implement one of these stupid laws, the CRPA, which is California Rifle and Pistol Association, sues, and the NRA, they sue and they win because they're constantly violating the Second Amendment. Well, now we're going to violate the Second Amendment from the federal. And by the way, the federal government, they violate the Constitution all the time. We talked about it last week, but the whole student debt cancellation violates the Constitution. The Supreme Court said it violated the Constitution. Multiple courts said it violated the Constitution, but the Biden administration did it anyway. So, you know, there we go. Okay, in our last story, so this will be a campaign ad for the Trump administration. And there are some things I have to say about it. I'm sure you have seen the pictures of the 100 or so illegal aliens that tried to cross the border illegally, actually did cross the border illegally by pushing away the Texas National Guard. And this one bothered me, and I've got a lot to say about this. So let's go through it. First off, let's get to the story. I'm sure you've seen it. If you have social media, if you watch the news, you've seen this. According to the New York Post, a group of over 100 migrants, okay, illegal aliens, let's call them illegal aliens, that's what they are, all right, attempted to enter the U.S. illegally, which would make them illegal aliens. The New York Post is not a left-wing rag, they really aren't, but they have to follow all of the language laws that social media has. That's the only way they get this stuff published on social media. That's one of the reasons why. They'll use the right pronouns for some guy who thinks he's a girl, and they'll call these people migrants instead of illegal aliens because the speech police have made it that they're not allowed to be on social media unless they use the right language, specifically Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. Okay, so anyway, continuing. A group of over 100 migrants attempted to enter the U.S. illegally by rushing a border wall Thursday, breaking through razor wire and knocking over guards in the process. The Post had earlier witnessed about 600 migrants massed at the international border as part of a spring surge of migrants to gain access to the U.S. Now, one of the things to realize, we're going to see a huge surge of illegal aliens because in about 2 months, it's going to be 115 to 130 degrees down there. It's going to get really hot, and people will actually die if they don't get picked up by the Border Patrol and they cross the border illegally. So you're going to see in February, you know, mind you, February had 29 days this year, but in February, 289,000 illegal aliens crossed the border. That comes after 305,000 illegal aliens crossing the border in December and something like 260,000 illegal aliens crossing the border in January. So we're going to see probably between 250 and 300,000 illegal aliens crossing the border every month until about June. And then it's going to get too hot and you'll see it go down again. So they're calling it the spring surge. The Texas National Guard was attempting to organize them into smaller groups, but the situation grew tense after some women and children were separated from adult males by the guardsmen. Now, I do want to point out, in these videos that were released, I didn't see any women and children. And a lot of news agencies are saying, these look all like men. And they all look like teenage to 20-year-old men. So they say there were women and children, they were pushed out of the way. Okay, I don't know, because where they were at the time was Mexico. So I'm not sure I buy that. Video taken by the Post show one set of migrants, mostly single men, then rushing the Texas troops. a group of men with hoodies, gloves, and winter jackets could be seen pulling fencing away and dashing through the concertina wire as a group of five guards stood in defensive position to fill the gap. Now, I like you, I've seen this video. It's not a shock to see. The first thing that is reported by the Border Patrol at the time, this is more common than you think it is. It's actually happening quite a bit. That law enforcement, Border Patrol, National Guard, even police, they're being assaulted and people are actually charging the border. The reason we don't see a lot of video, those are actually restricted areas of the border. The Biden administration has made sure you can't have cameras everywhere on the border. For example, Bill Malusian of Fox News was actually used to fly drones over certain areas of the border, especially Eagle Pass, where there is a huge influx of illegal migrants. The Biden administration outlawed that. They're not allowed to do it. So there are a lot of areas of the border you're not allowed to have cameras. But the Border Patrol says, no, this is happening all the time. The video is very graphic. It's very good video. It's a pure campaign ad. This is going to be a campaign ad that President Trump and any other politician would be derelict as a politician to not use this video. And it really does show one more thing. This is an invasion. We are being invaded. This is not happening once. I know in California this is happening, for example. I know at the border in California it's happening. I know at the border in California it's actually happening at the entrance points. So we know this crap is happening and we're doing nothing about it. And that brings me to another question. Now, these National Guardsmen, they had M16s. They had sidearms. What the hell are they doing there? If they're not going to use some sort of force. Even pointing the rifle in the air and firing to break this whole thing up. What is the point of them being on the border other than to get hurt? So later in the article, I mean, personally, you know, if you are showing a use of force, you must use force when you need to use force. Now, does that mean I'm saying they should have shot him? Well, not necessarily, but you could have done something. And then, yes, if you have to, you shoot him. I mean, I don't understand. These people are breaking the law. They're assaulting the troops. And I'm sorry, you start assaulting troops, yeah, you have to use force. But to use no force, this video is released. This video is a big thing for the left, for the people that are trying to cross too, the leftists, whose only goal, where they don't care about the lives of anybody, they'll sit there and see, they just need to break in. That's all they need to do. See, nothing happened. They see this as a good thing, leftists. Because they don't care about the National Guard. They don't care about Border Patrol. They don't care about the illegal aliens. They just want more of them in here. And it's so. And if the National Guard did use their M16s and shot some people, guess what? That would be better for the leftists. Because they can say, oh, the violent Border Patrol, the violent Texas National Guard. And then the Southern Poverty Law Center can call the Texas National Guard a terror hate group, which they already do to the Border Patrol. Oh, man, if you really want to just get a good laugh, go to the Southern Poverty Law Center's website and take a look at who they deem as terror, as violent extremist groups. It's amazing. Later in the article, this is what New York Post said. A source told the Post the rowdy group, which amassed in the area known as Gate 36, located next to the highway in El Paso, was pushed back to Mexico. However, some members were arrested, and the rest of the people in the group were brought into the U.S. for processing, according to local reports. Okay, there are other reports that are saying that those people that actually pushed through, they were taken in by Border Patrol. So I'm not sure if this is actually true, and that a lot of those people, outside the people who were arrested for assault, and even those guys we don't really know, those people were actually released. They were processed and paroled. are not paroled or put on probation or whatever they're calling it, but they were released into the United States. So that part of the story, we're not really sure about. Again, this came out the day of. The Border Patrol agent, Orlando Marrero, told local Fox, KFOX 14 news station, quote, "The migrants that we encountered here today at Gate 36 will be taken to the processing center." So basically what they're saying is these guys have been taken because they got into the United States. Now, the reality is most of these people will be released, including the ones that committed assault. They're not going to stay in because that's what the Biden administration wants. The National Guardsmen who have arrested them, turned them over to the Border Patrol. Border Patrol has definite orders on what to do with these people. Now, the media, of course, know this is a bad look. The media, of course, know this is going to be a campaign ad. And they are trying to look at someone else to blame for this. And guess what? Yeah, I know it's a shock. Who are they going to blame? Republicans and Donald Trump. So let's listen to Joe Scarborough. He's not the only one that threw an absolute hissy fit, but his was the most extreme. So let's listen to his rant.
If I were a Democrat running for office, I would do this. I would be carrying this around all day. Look at what the Republicans are doing to you. Look what Donald Trump's doing to you. Donald Trump said, and by the way, this is for you at home. So come to the at-home camera, TJ. Thank you. God bless you. So good at this. And to think you just started last week. So I'm joking, TJ. So, TJ, can I get a TJ cam? I hope TJ's in.
Not yet. Not this second.
Okay, oh, good. Wow. Okay, good.
He's not feeling pretty.
He's in his underwear. He's in his underwear at home. He got one of those things at home. I was afraid I was like picking on a director that mattered. But no, TJ's there. So, TJ's been with us for 20 years, by the way. He's family. But
I can't get rid of him.
I would carry this around because see this Onslaught headline? The only thing the Post didn't tell you is Donald Trump said, blame me for this. Donald Trump said, kill the bill. And blame me for everything that happens after this point. Donald Trump said, blame me. So, yes, Donald, we are blaming you. We're blaming mini-me Mike Johnson for following your orders. We're blaming Republicans who begged for a tough border bill. But like the Wall Street Journal editorial page said, couldn't take yes for an answer. So yes, there is an onslaught in the southern border still. And it's all Donald Trump's fault. You know who says that? Donald Trump. Donald Trump says blame him for this.
I don't know how MSNBC keeps this guy online. He is just nuts. He's entertaining. I can't listen to him for more than 5 minutes. He's always going on these unhinged rants. And this is one of his more unhinged rants. Okay, you want to carry that newspaper and show it off to everyone and blame Donald Trump and the Republicans for this? Well, Donald Trump hasn't been president in 3.5 years. The Republicans, for the first 2 years, did not have any majority in Congress. They didn't have a majority in the House. They didn't have a majority in the Senate. It was all Democratic. And that's when this garbage started. Donald Trump had the border down to 30,000 illegal crossings. It's now at 300,000. It's kind of like blaming Trump for the gas crisis. We all know Trump had nothing to do with the gas crisis. We know that's all Joe Biden. We know that the reason gas is $5 in California is because of Joe Biden. We all know that. But they continue to blame Trump when gas was at $2.39 a gallon. So no one buys any of this stuff. So yes, you want to walk around holding that and then blame Republic? Go for it. That's a great idea. Do that. But this is the problem the Democrats have. They have really no other explanation for it. They have nothing else to say. because their policies are doing this, and they can't say our policies are locking down the border. They've been saying that. Now we've got videos that are, they just can't defend. The White House also made a statement. Of course, they also blame Trump. We are grateful for Border Patrol's quick work to get the situation under control and apprehend the migrants. Mind you, they don't talk anything about the National Guard, because that was Abbott that sent the National Guard. And it wasn't Border Patrol that actually arrested these people. It was the National Guard. Also, this guy is saying how much he loves the Border Patrol. Well, those guys that he accused of whipping migrants on the horses, he still hasn't apologized to. So let's not listen to him. And not to mention, most of the Border Patrol union is not supporting him. That's got to tell you something. A union is not supporting Joe Biden. But Border Patrol officers are sitting back and saying, we're under siege here. And he's not doing anything. Anyway, continuing with his statement, when the former president told congressional Republicans to block the bipartisan border security agreement, it wasn't bipartisan, and it is not a security agreement. We'll talk about that in a second. Continuing, he said to blame him for it. Well, he got his wish, and the result was chaos after Governor Abbott's operational Lone Star and Razor Wire were overrun yesterday. While we cannot comment on the individual cases, anyone who does not have a legal basis to remain in the United States is promptly removed. Again, another lie. Nobody is being removed from the United States right now. Zero. Nobody. Okay, so here's the thing with this bipartisan. They keep beating on this bipartisan. I tell you what, you got Romney that kind of likes some of the things in it. You got real borderline rhino Republicans that kind of liked it. You know, it's okay. That does not make a bill bipartisan. The reality is, I think one or two Republicans might like the bill. No Republican I've heard likes the bill. It's garbage. Trump just basically said the bill sucked. He said the bill sucked, and they're going to blame me for it. If they want to, go for it. That's what he said. And they keep saying, well, if Trump did this, he should take blame for it. And he said, blame me. Well, no, he said basically you were going to blame him anyway, and you just did. And he said, fine, blame me. And they just did. All they're doing is proving Trump right and changing his words a little bit. Now, here's what the bill had. It was going to spend tons of money and do absolutely zero to secure the border. It was going to be basically set a limit of 8,000 illegal aliens a day before the border would be closed. And then it would only be up to the president to do so. So basically, the Border Patrol wasn't given more power. And if 8,000 people, and by the way, 8,000 people crossing a day is an unheard of number. It is a huge number. That's 240,000 illegal aliens that the president says should be able to cross a month. So, yeah, that's what he said. It does not add more Border Patrol agents to the border. It adds Border Patrol agents to the administrative sections of the border. In other words, to process illegal aliens faster. So it still doesn't add anything, any security to the border. It provides for more judges so they can process illegal aliens into the country faster. It does not build 1 foot of border wall. This bill did nothing but processes illegals faster. That is not a border security bill. Now, here's the ironic thing. The Border Patrol has already said they have enough people. They have enough funding. There is no reason we need this. The Border Patrol Union said that too. We don't need more people. We need the border closed. They don't need more money. They openly are saying this. They need their Border Patrol. A bunch of people that were on the border were actually reassigned to the administration centers to process illegal aliens into the country faster. So this president has actually pulled security off of the border. And this whole thing does the same. This whole bill does the same thing. It's a garbage bill. Now, I'm just going to point something out. 30,000 illegal aliens in December of 2019 were allowed. 32,000, excuse me. Illegal aliens entered this country illegally in December of 2019, the last month President Trump was in the White House. In February, there were 289,000. I think Joe Biden needs to stop blaming Donald Trump because he's obviously done what he needed to do. Joe Biden has an open border. He wants it open. Everyone knows it. Trump has been out of office for 3.5 years. Republicans have had no power for the last 3 years. No amount of gaslighting is going to change the perceptions on the border. And it will be his undoing, because I think Biden's going to get his ass kicked in November. You guys have a great day. God bless. This is Gene, and you've listened to Dumbasses Talking Politics.